Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 6/23/2015, meaning, almost to July, almost to holiday time again.
Isn't now that I think about it, isn't the summer solstice, didn't we just miss it by a couple of days here?
I don't know. Did we? Usually it's on the news. They go on and on about it.
Yeah, they probably forgot about it. I think it's on the 21st of June, the longest day of the year.
Oh, I thought the longest day of the year was yesterday or today.
Well,
that was the 24th.
Maybe 24th. I thought it was the 21st. March 21st was the solstice, and I don't know, some solstice.
We're going to start seeing less sun. Oh.
Yeah, it's very bright out here. This is our last episode of our test for Periscope until we get some feedback to figure out if this is something we want to continue doing or if we want to do it live at all on a on some kind of website, or we're going to continue doing this Periscope. We'll get some feedback. People, please do me a favor. Send us your feedback on Twitter at The Real Dvorak or Andrew Horowitz. Tell us what you think about it, and we'll go from there. Right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Now, just to mention,
how many people do listen? Did you have numbers? Do they give you numbers?
Like right now, there's, I don't know, 15 or 20 people. There's been 300, 400 people. I know, it's not a big audience.
No.
Get more people on. The problem is they got to get featured, and you got to get on the top of the list, and you got to, I don't know what they do and how they do it. Even like the big concerts, like Neil Diamond, for example, I think he's been on, 700. Some other people have maybe, 200. It's not a very big thing. That's why we just did this as a test, just to see what it's going to pan out and be. Quick note, I will be out of town the next two Tuesdays. I believe two of them. And I don't think that I'll be able to do the podcast.
Okay, we can skip 2 weeks, and then we'll be all new. It'll be a new market.
Yeah, I'll be in Xinhua, China.
Yes,
I China. I told you that, right?
Yeah, where are you going in China? Why don't you reiterate?
I'm going to Chengdu. I'm going to...
What's Chengdu?
I don't know. I just know a few of these names.
This is a giant city. Isn't that some monster city?
Well, I'm going to, first, the rice paddies. I'll be staying at the rice paddies. I'm going to see the Terracotta Warriors.
The hotel in Chengdu?
I don't think that's Chengdu. That's probably...
Chengdao.
Yeah, it's one of those. there's a long list, and I can never remember all the names. But they're smaller. Well, I'm not going to say smaller. It's not, Beijing. So it's the smaller places and more on the outskirts. You can see the pandas, Terracotta Warriors, and then
Oh, that'd be fun. I got to see the Terracotta Warriors roaming exhibit. They sent some of them over to the San Francisco Museum, Asian Museum, and it was they're fascinating. There's like no two of them are alike. It's all those are all very individual.
Right. Hey, by the way, somebody's tweeting or mentioning right now on Periscope that, hey, we should tweet out and get people on. We've tweeted out a few times. Everybody that's on Periscope, you guys go and tweet out and tell them to join in right now. That's the way it works, right? Isn't that how the whole social media goes?
Yeah, it's supposed to be viral.
Right. So retweet, retweet. How was your Father's Day?
It was good.
Anything special?
No, not really. We had dinner over at the house here, and no, nothing really. Mm-hmm. I'm not a demanding father expecting stuff. I'm lucky to get a happy Father's Day for my kids.
Oh.
My daughter did bring over some homegrown basil from Berkeley.
Oh.
So that was kind of special.
That's nice. Well, I cooked all day. I woke up early. I put a pork butt in the smoker, and I tended to it all day.
How many hours?
It must have been, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 7 hours.
Yeah, a little short, a little low.
It was a little, I got to be honest with you, it was probably another 45 minutes would have been, it was actually great, when I
peeled it off. It's always tasty after about 5 or 6 hours, but it doesn't fall apart like crazy until about 12.
Right, the outsides did, but to the inside. Then I made some turkey legs. Those are awesome. Those are easy to cook in the smoker.
Yeah.
A little bit of brushing, a few things. Speaking about turkey legs, speaking of poultry, you know that chickens have been treated very badly lately.
It's a war on chickens.
Yeah, but thank God for Ryan Gosling, the actor.
Oh, is he getting people back on board with the chickens?
It seems that way. Less than 2 weeks after the Humane Society of the United States released an undercover investigation into the treatment of one of the chain's chain's largest egg suppliers. I think this was Walmart. The as the news story goes, the hunky actor is demanding reform. I am writing today about the recent undercover investigation conducted by my friends at the Humane Society of the United States at a Costco egg supplier. And video footage revealed abhorrent cruelty, including rows upon rows of birds confined in filth-laden cages and the mummified corpses of their cage mates. Cage mates. Cage mates.
That's pretty bad.
Eating, sleeping, defecating, and laying on eggs on top of dead birds. And hens' wings, legs, and necks trapped in the corroded wires of their battery cages. Eva, and this is how it ends. End quote. End quote. So those are all in quotes, okay? Eva Mendez's partner wrote. That's how, so they had to throw in that he's married to the hottie. I mean, it's a terrible thing. I don't want these poor chickens treated.
Yeah, I always get I get my eggs and chickens from suppliers that are beyond pasture. They're you know, yard chickens.
Ah, this way they're not treated
or
poorly.
Halal, at least.
I don't want my egg laying an egg on a dead bird.
No,
you know.
Did you eat it? Ugh.
And why are they? Well, you're not eating the shell, but why are they? By the way, the thought
besides
of eggs.
Point is the vibe. The ghost of the chicken might go into that egg. You eat it.
I'm not a big fan of eggs. I got to get myself. The eggs just disgust me a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And I pretty much can eat anything when I go around the world. I eat all sorts of strange things. Something about the egg and what it represents, or really not what it represents, what it is, gets me a little bit troubled. Gets me a little bit gagging.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about some of the world items because I'm starting to get a little bit of a little gag reflex just thinking about the whole yolk and the albumin, whatever else is in that whole thing.
Good for you.
Yeah. Generally, market participants these days ignoring economic reports as the Fed has done, I guess, a stellar job of ring-fencing any disappointing news as they are ensuring a kind of a backstop. So, you know, the whole thing is that we're going to connect the dots and we're going to follow the dots. And depending on what the economic conditions are, will depend on what we're going to do with the rates and all this stuff. So what happens is, more so than any other time that I've seen it, disappointing news hits and the Fed is expected to keep interest rates low for longer. And with a surprise to the upside, what happens? The Fed is seen as keeping interest rates lower for not as long. So either way, the expectation is the Fed will keep rates low, which will benefit equities. And we've seen that recently. We saw that drop last week. And then this week, whoop, it kind of moved back up nicely, or the end of last week into this week, moved back up. And we've been seeing some big turnarounds in China. China, if you've watched what's gone on since the time I've been yapping about it, or clucking about it as we're talking about chickens, you know, China, the market there is tremendously overvalued, $385 billion out on margin. Everybody and their brother is, you know, taking all their money and throwing it into the markets. And it's up like 100% or so over the last year. Now,
I didn't know they had that much on margin. I didn't know they played that game.
That's the problem. That's what I've been all freaked out about. I mean, margin's tremendous these days. And,
wow.
Yeah, they're borrowing money from all over. I tell you,
I know they were doing it on their real estate scams, but I didn't realize the whole market is all margined up.
Yep, margined up big time. Biggest, largest amount of margin in history. And
this I can assure you never works out.
Right, exactly. And when it comes down,
this isn't good.
Yeah, and when it comes down, for example, it was 2 days ago, it was down 6.5%. Last night, it was down 4.5% at one point, and somehow miraculously turned around. It was up 2% by the end of the trading session.
Huh.
There's some crazy stuff going on over there. But whenever that day comes, when there's a rung for the exit, maybe they clamp down on margin, maybe something happens, who knows what it is, it's going to get a little ugly. It's going to get very ugly. But that's why we're short China. So what also happened was recently, why the markets are a little bit more excited is, you know, they're doing everything they can to make sure that Greece is not an issue around the world. So we've been hearing some cock and bull reports the last over the weekend that Greece is looking for more time. They put a proposal on the table, which, by the way, they haven't done so yet because they keep on walking out of meetings. So they put some kind of proposal on the table and ECB's like, okay, hey, that's great. You put a proposal on the table. We're not sure what it says, I don't think, but it's a proposal. So we'll extend.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I don't care. Maybe it's only a few words, but you know, there's something. So what they did was the ECB allowed for more money to flow into the banks. through the Emergency Lending Facility, or the European Lending Facility, whatever they call it exactly, the ELA. And banks got more time, and the European markets rallied. Germany was up 3.5% yesterday, 1% today. Greece was up like 9% yesterday, and up another whatever percent today. The banks, National Bank of Greece was up 9% today, 9% yesterday. So quite the incredible amount of enthusiasm for nothing. I mean, this is nothing there.
Huh.
We'll have to see something shortly. Even if we get a deal, just an absolute great deal tomorrow, the fact is there's not enough time for the release of funds to keep Greece afloat through the end of the month. So they've got to be very creative here. They're going to try to stop a run to the banks. There was a big concern. One of the big things that happened is why there was a big drawdown last week was there was a big concern and commentary out that Greek banks may not open on Monday.
Yeah, I heard all that. In fact, over the weekend when we did the No Agenda show on Sunday, there was some discussion after the show because of some people that are in the industry concerned that Greece was going to go broke on Monday. And I've actually subscribed to everything that finance minister has said from the beginning. He just seems to be the guy that has a clue. The guy wears a leather jacket and drives a motorcycle.
Varoufakis.
Yeah, that guy. And he always said, no, there's not going to, none of these bad things are going to happen because the system can't let it happen.
Right, that's true.
I think he's right.
Do you know what he is known for? His study of game theory.
Oh, that's where that would come from.
Yep. How do you like that?
I didn't realize that.
Doesn't that make a lot of sense? He's a poker player.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically a poker player.
Yeah, and a good one.
Exactly. Let's put the guy in that's the gambler and can really rub faces with these guys and, you know, go toe-to-toe till the very end. And I'll stand, the prime minister, I'll stand in the background just in case you need a little bit of a break and a reprieve, like they were going to fire him at one time. There was some rumor that he was being fired. And he comes out on Twitter. This doesn't happen on our side of the pond, right? Only outside. He comes out with Twitter and says, the rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. On Twitter. This is the finance minister of a country.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah. Imagine Bernanke in the day.
Right. No, they weren't. Follow me and I'll tell you what's going on. Hey, by the way, you know, your little Netflix pick, which is doing outstanding in the game, which we'll get to at the end of this show.
Right.
You remember one of the reasons why we talked about back when that you said, hey, yeah, even before earnings, I'm getting in. Do you remember what that was about? Remember what was the determining?
It was either some buyback deal or floating more shares.
Yeah.
It was something screwy. I can't remember exactly.
They increased their share count from like, I don't know, 500 million to like 30 billion or something ridiculous. Some exponential size of the allowable share count. And the idea was at the time that, hey, they'd probably do some big stock split, maybe some buybacks, like all that, right?
Right.
Shares have been running up pretty well. They ran up nicely.
Right,
after
right. I surmise it was a stock. Oh, we did both, I guess. Surmise a stock split was coming.
Right.
And that always means the stock's going up.
Yep. Tonight, after the close, 7-for-1 stock split announced.
There you go.
Stock is now trading over $700 a share. And I've been moving up, one of the better performers this year. I mean, really, from just ricocheted from the bottom. I think it's probably up, it's got to be up 50, 60% this year, 70%.
I don't know. Yeah. Lots.
You have like, I think it's like 40-something percent. Let's take a look here.
I picked up a good chunk of the growth.
Yeah, 42%. And that's when it traded and closed at 681. And it's trading at 704.
Yeah. That should be a huge winner.
It's a big one.
Before it stops itself out, because we have automatic stops.
Yep. I don't think it's been down since you bought it. Seriously, it's been like constantly up.
I don't know why I didn't really go buy some.
Mm. And it was expensive.
I'm still waiting for the, I got another short coming on that one.
Well, not only that, and this is great.
I may have a touch for it.
You are. You're the Netflix wizard. You're the next Tommy. This is a great question that came in tonight from a listener, and he asked about, what are the trends after a stock split? Do they go up? Does it go down? Is there any? And one of the things that you mentioned was, you know, hey, well, I don't know, I didn't take money and really do it. Well, one of the reasons a lot of people don't do it is because it was trading at, let's say, $600 a share. So you want to invest a couple of grand, $5,000. What are you going to get, 10 shares? I mean, it's not a lot of shares you can get out of it. So a lot of people like to trade lower price stocks.
Yeah.
And even though if you make 10% on a stock, if it's a $700 stock or $2 stock, it's still 10%. The fact is that most people like to get more shares.
Yeah, people like to get more shares and they would like the stock to be cheap.
Yeah. Because some people put the...
But not too cheap, because then a cheap stock makes it look like a cheap company.
Right.
It's the psychology of the stock price is fascinating, and books could be written about it. I think a few chapters have, but not the book, not whole books. But it's you have a different attitude when you're buying a $5 stock than you're buying a $500 stock when it might be exactly the same
right.
company.
Well, some people also think that a high-priced stock is unjustly valued when that has nothing to do with the price.
No, the price is irrelevant.
Right. So the question was, you know, what about trends and stock splits and all that? You know, basically, I'll tell you that, yes, stock splits usually mean or usually have a trend higher, especially for a well-followed stock, because a lot more people can get into it. Possibly there is other things associated with it, like there could be inclusion in certain indices where they're excluded, like Apple had a 7-for-1 stock split, and the stock was then eligible to be included in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So there's a lot of different things that could come into play there, and more shares may be bought due to the pricing in some mutual funds. But generally speaking, the fact remains that there is no significance of a stock split on the valuation of a company.
No, but it tends to go up. And the way I've always seen it, it always goes up before the split. Even after the split was announced, it starts going up. It usually will begin before it's announced because people seem to know. Then it goes up and then they get the stock split. And then it goes up more sometimes because people who aren't paying attention look at the stock and they say, oh, look at the price. It's a deal. I've been wanting to get this stock. I never could afford it before, but now I can buy some. I'm going to buy some,
right,
which pushes the stock up higher.
Yep, exactly.
And then reality sets in and it's just setting it up for a good downfall usually.
Right, and then you have price magnets. For example, Netflix trading now after the split, when it does split eventually, and let's just say it's the current price, will be at $70 a share. Now the goal will be to bring it to $100 a share.
Right.
So it's like this game that's being played, the magnet at a certain price, keep it around number. So that's why the company's not stupid in what they did 7-for-1 versus a 6-for-1 or 2-for-1 or whatever it is. I mean, they did it purposely.
They could have done 20-for-1, but that's not the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're better off doing even this is kind of high, 7-for-1. You do a 7-for-1, the stock gets to 100, and then you can do another 5-to-1 later if you want to get the thing down to 20.
Yep, exactly.
So it looks like, oh, they're splitting and they're splitting. Let's buy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's so cheap now. Must have gone down.
I think the stock is overpriced.
Well, okay. It may be, but it's running up nicely.
I'll tell you, I've been working with the Roku box for a couple of days now.
Yeah.
I mean, intensely. And by that, I mean digging up private channels, finding ways to get the private channels onto the box, playing with this channel pair, which is definitely worth loading on your machine or on the box, and fooling around with the thing to see what it really can do. And you can get a lot of entertainment from one of these Roku boxes, more than just that meets the eye. What meets the eye is a lot of entertainment. But when you start digging for these so-called private channels, which are not supported, they're not necessarily authorized, but Roku allows them.
Like, I mean, for example, like what? I mean, what kind of private channel?
Oh, there's tons of them. There's probably 2,500 of them. These are, for example, I think it's called the Railroad Channel. And
the Railroad Channel.
Yeah, something like that. It's the Railroad Channel, and I just loaded it. And you get it onto the box, and you click on it, and it's a bunch of old railroad movies hobbyists talking about railroading.
All right.
And it's actually a couple of things that are quite fascinating. Another one they have, I don't think you'll find it on the regular issuance, which is BBC International.
Mm-hmm.
That is available as a private channel, but not available as a... as one of the selections you'll get from Roku. Let me think of another
one. Do you have to pay for the private channels?
No, most of them are free.
Huh.
There are some that there's a couple of cable, supposed cable. Oh, we have all the cable channels and we'll but it's the same price as cable, so it doesn't seem like a good deal. There's a lot to it. I'm going to write this up. But there's a lot to this private channel. You know, type in Google, Roku private channels installation, those words, and you'll get a bunch of people telling you all about it.
Hmm. Thank God for the internet. And as we go forward with the internet, we seem to go backwards in things in the world. Because a few major retailers, Walmart, Sears, Target, eBay. I want you to keep that name in mind for a second. eBay is stopping or banning the sale of Confederate flags. you hear about this? This is going to be something that Adam's going to dig into, I'm sure. The announcements are the latest indication that the flag, a symbol of the slave holding South, which I take offense to that, by the way, has become toxic in the aftermath of a shooting last week at the historic African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina. Government Nikki Haley announced in a Monday afternoon news conference that she supports removing the Confederate flag from the state capitol grounds. So I guess maybe the whole Confederate flag on the state capitol grounds in South Carolina. Okay. But eBay is going to be banning the sale of Confederate flags? I don't know about you, but this is going to make a major run on Confederate flags. It wants me to make an inventory of this stuff.
If you can find some company that invest in now, you're right. Because you're not going to be able to get one anymore.
Unbelievable.
They probably haven't banned the ISIS flag, but this has got to go.
I'm sure they haven't banned also the Nazi flag. It's not banned. You can probably buy one somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Especially on eBay. That's the amazing thing.
And eBay is supposed to sell everything.
Yeah, and it's individuals selling this stuff, and they're now going to... The point, this is a slippery slope, my friend. What is next?
You and the slippery slope.
Right. Well, here's the next one that they're going to start to ban. See, there's this growing online craze among some fitness communities, fetishists. And chronic disease sufferers for buying and drinking human breast milk. They say it poses a serious health risk. This is from Britain.
What's the health risk?
I don't know. Writing in the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine, specialists said that there was little evidence to support claims that the milk traded via websites in a lucrative market for adult buyers is some kind of superfood that can boost health and fitness and ward off disease. Now, claims that it can even helps with erectile dysfunction and cancer have no clinical basis, they said. On the contrary, the experts warned that raw and unpasteurized human breast milk bought online can expose consumers to many serious infectious diseases, including hepatitis, HIV, and syphilis. So now they're going to stop selling of that too. First the flag.
I didn't know they sold it until you brought the story up.
Yeah, well. I think
this all came from the movie.
What movie?
The Mad Max movie.
Oh, why? Were they drinking human breast milk?
No, they had a big tank of it. They were driving through the desert.
Human breast milk? Not gasoline in this one.
Well, they had gasoline too, but you had to see the movie.
So
it wasn't much of a story, but it was very action-packed.
So let me go through this slowly here. A growing online craze among some fitness communities. Okay, fitness communities. I get maybe how... You know, there are certain things.
Well, how about this? Is there any objection that they've written about this? What if you get it fresh?
Yeah. And who is there a room full of people pumping this stuff? But
maybe in the gym.
I understand chronic disease sufferers because they'll go for anything that, you know, you got a chronic disease and something could possibly help you going for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what's with this fetishists?
I don't know what's with the fetishists.
What is the fetish?
I don't know.
I need to have
adults sucking on human tit.
I don't.
It's the only thing I can think of. It's probably
that they're probably getting those plastic or those rubber doll things and filling them up.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? And they're pretending it's real. Anyway, people are strange.
All I know is that when my wife was breastfeeding.
Do tell.
The stuff got all over the place.
Ugh.
And it stinks.
It's milk.
It goes bad fast. I think that's why they're trying to keep people from shipping it around on eBay. Because it just reeks. I mean, it must go sour like in an hour or two.
Mm.
It's a mess.
Well, don't, I mean, a lot of people, they pump and then they put it in the fridge.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
That's okay, because keeping it that way. All right. Well, anyway, folks, listen, make sure you understand two things that you can't do as of this week. Well, three, I'll bring up another one in a second. Two things is, number one, you cannot buy a Confederate flag very shortly. And it seems that human breast milk is going to be coming in very short supply very soon. So just keep it there. Yeah, somebody's
mentioned. I'm sure that the flag makers are just keep making the flags anyway. You can probably buy one from someone other than eBay.
Right. You know, the Silk Road or something.
If you
like
want
that.
One.
Right. Somewhere from China. The other thing is I saw a note. This is an extra that I didn't put in our little notes here. There was a – where I happen to live in Broward County, Florida, and there was a commission meeting today. And I think this is one of the first places in the U.S. actually that is looking to ban Uber, like totally ban it. I don't think that there's been another place in the U.S.
I don't know how you can do that, but okay.
Well, already there is a violation to pick up somebody at the airport with Uber. Now, you could drop them off at the airport because – you know, obviously, who knows what's going on from going out and bring them in. But you cannot actually pick somebody up at the airport.
And what if I want my wife to pick me up?
Your wife can pick you up. Is she an Uber driver?
No.
Okay.
But how's anyone going to tell the difference
between
my wife and an Uber driver? They don't wear a uniform.
No. Nope. Maybe they have the little phone in a little cradle they all seem to have in their on their front.
Take that off.
Yeah, take that off.
Make it a magnet.
I mentioned to a friend, I said, well, what do you do? He goes, don't worry about it. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, what you do is you move the pin of where they're supposed to pick you up outside of the area of the airport. And then when they say they'll pick you up, call them and say, hey, pick me up at the airport.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to do. Maybe
they all have cell lots now, most of the airports.
Yeah. And why do they call it a cell phone waiting area? What is that?
So you can park there and wait.
Why are they called a cell phone waiting area? How about just a pickup waiting area or a driver waiting area?
Because you're going to have a cell phone, or what would you be doing there?
You can have a cell phone wherever you are. It's a stupid name.
That's the least stupid name okay, if you feel that way. I always thought it was a practical name. It gives people, for one thing, it gives them the idea, the suggestion, that instead of driving around and around and around and around, they can go into this lot where they have a cell phone that they can wait there for the cell phone call.
How about passenger pickup
waiting area? You should say waiting area.
Passenger pickup waiting area, not a cell phone waiting area. It's like I'm leaving my cell phone there to wait for something.
This is like you and the feet.
What the feet? Oh, you mean the shoes? Don't bring that up. I have to deal with that all next week. Although I guess in China probably I won't.
No, probably not.
No, usually in other countries they're not that worried about those kind of things. They got other things they got to worry about. I'm going to be flying first class on United, and then on the way back I think it's Korean Air.
Well, you're going to see the difference between United first class, which is it's not bad. It's comfortable, but in terms of the food and the service and the courtesy and them coming up and doing everything you want them to do and being attentive and giving you big piles of caviar and with high quality champagne, you'll probably get you'll get a good French champagne on the United flight, but it will be like a low end champagne. You won't be Dom or Cristal. It'll be something good, but it won't be
Pierre Jouet.
It won't be killer.
Right.
On the way back, it'll be like Cristal or some super expensive, ridiculous champagne that you would never buy yourself.
Very excited.
As much caviar as you want.
Do you know the cost of a first class ticket these days?
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
I don't.
Makes me cringe. It's like to go to that trip you're taking, $5,500 to $10,000.
Yeah, well, the one thing I could tell you is, and anybody that's listening, I'm not paying first class fees. Matter of fact, I'm not paying anything for my airlines. My wife is brilliant when it comes to collecting miles. She tracks some of these miles, folks, these blogs and stuff. Like you can sign up for a credit card and like you sign up for it and you spend, let's say, $2,000.
Yeah, she's like a coupon clipper at a high end.
But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I got these trips to China for like 2 weeks. I'm not hardly paying anything for this trip. If this whole trip, if it costs me for two of us for 10, 12 days, whatever it is, with everything, all in, with guides everywhere, pickups everywhere, high-end hotels everywhere, some of the coolest, you know, not high-end hotels, but cool places to go, like, you know, in the mountains and all that. Just, but, you know, if it cost me $5,000, I'd be surprised for two of us.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that'd be one way for one person on the airline.
Right. In coach. Coach is probably $3,000.
Well, business for sure.
Yeah.
Coach, you get over to China pretty cheap.
Yeah, exactly. The power of the short seller. I thought I'd mention this to you. You know, the short sellers, there's a lot of talk about how short sellers aren't out there as much anymore. Not a lot of talk. And
yeah, you know, you the opportunity's coming.
Yep. But there is some interesting power of the short seller I wanted to share with you. So there's a couple of different firms out there. There used to be the firm Muddy Waters, which you're probably familiar with, which cracked some of these China companies, you know, and one of them in particular was Sinoforest, which basically found out it was a total scam and just went out of business, gone, after they went and it was interesting because when this guy, Carson Block from Muddy Waters, came out with this whole newsletter / research piece, it said this was a total scam. So the stock gets cut down by like 50%. Some major players said, oh, that's crap, and invested just a ton of money into it at that price, thinking it was, you know, pretty much done, right? That this is going to come out. It's all going to be good. Don't worry about it. Stock ended up going bankrupt. And that was what propelled him to some fame and pissed off a lot of other people. But
I'm sure it did.
But there's another one out there called Citron, which actually, look up Citron, Citron, when you get a chance out there, if you're listening, and you can actually sign up for their newsletters, but it's a freebie, but it may be a little delayed, like you get a day or two later. But they came out with a piece on Friday where they said a particular stock that's been running up very nicely. This is called Ambarella. They have the chip that is used in the GoPro and the Xiaomi cameras and a variety of other video equipment for those kind of 4K or 1080p and a few other high-end video compression chips. Done very well. Earnings very good. Trajectory of the opportunity is very good. Stock was up from, I don't know, $70 recently to like $115. So they come out with this piece that the stock is overvalued and some. I thought the piece was pretty thin. It really didn't have a lot of meat to it. But they said the price should come down to 60. That'd be about a 50% drop.
Then to 40.
What's that?
Then to 40.
Well, the stock was at about 115, dropped about 25% in 2 days. Big volume. Popped about 10% back the other side today. We own that. We own that from the 40s. For our clients, actually.
Oh, you got burned?
I get burned. We own it at 40s. So it's.
Oh, you had it at the 40s.
Yeah, I bought it in the 40s, and it's whatever. It's like 100. And,
the point of them is heading back.
Yeah, well, but I thought it was interesting, the power of the short seller and how some of these guys could really rock markets pretty well. We haven't seen this kind of thing in a while. He's not saying it's a fraud or anything like that. He's just saying that it was overvalued.
Huh.
Usually you want to find the ones that are a fraud. That's the ones that really.
Yeah, there's your big right. Score.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there's got to be tons of those in China.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told you what's happening. A lot of these Chinese firms that are listed on the U.S. market are coming off, trying to go private, and then relisting on China because there's a lot less oversight over there.
Yeah.
And there's a big appetite these days for anything that moves, actually, in the stock market. Speaking of the power of the stock market and things that are big, Facebook. Market cap is now bigger than Walmart. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's nonsense.
It's now taken the position of the 10th largest company by size, I think in the U.S., possibly the world, but 10th largest company, and without one store, with no real estate. That's pretty amazing.
Now, what the book value is?
Their assets can be some of the properties they own for development and servers and things of that nature, desks. Maybe computers.
Desks. Well, there's some land prices in San Francisco. That's got something mm-hmm. going on.
But not like Walmart. I was in one of those super Walmarts the other day. Wow.
Oh, the big ones.
Oof. That is enormous.
Yeah. And they have monster grocery stores in those things.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous.
That are actually pretty comprehensive.
I found something there. Sometimes you find things. I found something. I have this Nutra Ninja protein shake thing, like a bullet.
Yes, you've discussed your Ninja before.
My Ninja. And so I cut up fresh fruit in there in the morning, and I put in some protein powder. I put in some goji berries and vitamin B and all sorts of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And kale, because you have to have kale because it tastes
so
bad.
And don't forget the goji. Yeah, the kale, the goji berries, yeah, for sure.
Goji berries and the kale. I like the goji berries. So it's kind of tough. You know, you chop all, you know, you got to cut all the stuff up, throw it in there, and then put a little bit of coconut water in or whatever. Okay. So what I found was they have these frozen bags of fresh, no preservatives, no sugar added fruit that are, it's a big bag. It's like
maybe, you really don't need preservatives in frozen fruit.
Right. I agree. So it's like a gallon size bag, but inside the bag are four separate bags of portions. So you just open one of those up and pour that in there and then just put a little water in there and, you know, ninja it up.
Bag of kale?
No, it's a mixture. It has maybe bananas.
Mixture of fruit.
Fruit and vegetables, yeah. Or whatever you want.
And vegetables.
There's a few different ones. Carrots, spinach, apples, pears in one of them. And another one may have bananas and strawberries and a berry mix. I don't know, something. But it makes it very easy. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially in the off season.
Yep.
And especially in places like Florida, where apparently they can't grow anything.
Can't grow anything. It's the worst fruit I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's because they ship it out of the state, the good stuff. Goes to New York.
Maybe. But
once in a while, you go to New York. You know, I live in California area, which is cherry country.
Right.
And also Washington State. A lot of cherries grown in the West Coast. I go to New York once in a while, and I see cherries for sale there from California that are better than anything I've ever seen out here.
New York has good fruit. They do.
Giant, beautiful Bing cherries right. that aren't, I can't get around here, but they have them in New York.
Yep. I've done this several times. I get very angry when I go to Publix into the produce aisles.
Publix.
And I pick up, you know, a tomato and it's like a rock or avocados. They're all hard. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
You're like, leave it. The tomato is hopeless.
Yeah. Leave it out. I'm like, I don't want to leave it out. I came here to buy fruit that I can use. You know, you buy, I said, what is wrong with you people? It's like, you've juiced the orange before you put it out here. It's terrible.
They've shipped the good stuff to New York. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a farmer's paradise in Georgia and in Florida.
Yeah, they got Georgia peaches all over the place here.
No, that's at least something.
Yeah. Let's see here. China, we mentioned that. Okay. Oh, this was kind of a cool story. Have you been following this whole Apple story where they were not going to be paying the artists any money during the 3-month free period of their streaming music service that they were having for people?
Yeah.
So you sign up for a free streaming, their sample, I guess, Beats Music or whatever it was. You sign up for this and you get a free 3 months trial or something, or maybe you get it with your new phone or whatever it was. It's a freebie for 3 months. And they said, you know what? During the 3 months, we're not going to pay any artists. So Taylor Swift wrote a letter, said, you know, I don't get it. It's not like I get an Apple iPhone and I don't have to pay you for 3 months. What's that about? And within 24 hours, Apple decided to reverse what they were doing and actually pay the artists. During that 3-month trial.
Yeah, they should pay the artists.
Yeah, no kidding.
Are they kidding? And apparently only Taylor Swift had the balls to do anything about it, which I've always suspected anyway.
She's unbelievable. It's either she's unbelievable or her attorneys are unbelievable.
Well, she's one of the best businesswomen working the game.
Yep. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing by Apple. You know, there's still a lot of hacking going on. And we know that there was 2 separate incidents recently of the government being hacked, right? And we know about.
Yeah.
The first one was the IRS. And we discussed how they're using Windows XP still. And no wonder why they hacked. The second one was
OPC.
OPM.
OPM.
OPM, right. Yeah. So OPM. Now, what's interesting is that it seems, crazy as it may be, that the hack may have been underreported. Have you been following any of this?
Oh, no, it's totally underreported. And we have a No Agenda producer who said, we'll talk about this on the show on Sunday, or Thursday, I guess, sorry, that has one of the letters and he sent it to us. And it seems as if everybody that ever worked for the government from 15 years back and forward has all their information's compromised. All of it. All kinds of personal stuff. Their performance reviews, their addictions to drugs, their everything.
Hmm.
Divorce proceedings, you name it.
That's not good.
No.
So
no, this guy feels crappy about it. He thinks he's just like he's been, you know, violated.
What are they going to do with the data?
I have no idea.
And aren't they blaming it on China?
They blame it on, I'm surprised they didn't blame it on North Korea. They don't know who to blame it on. This is a criminal enterprise.
What is the point of, well, there's two types of hacking. The first type of hacking is to get information and then maybe use it in identity theft or something of that nature, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. I'm not saying I approve of it, but I get it. What's the point of hacking to just break stuff?
Oh, that's what those are old-fashioned, script kiddie hackers. This is not to break anything. These guys, this is a deliberate effort to get as much information on people as you can get. It must have been a bonanza when the hacker ran into this database. Probably downloaded a little piece of it, looked at it, and saw everything. And he just looked at the size of it and said, oh, my God, this thing is huge. It must have everybody in the country.
What the problem is? The problem with hackers is that you never hear of any stories of hackers getting, you know, a few here and there, but, you know, arrested, major jail time. They need to do something, my opinion.
Now, you're way off on that.
What do you mean?
There's been tons of guys arrested and all got major jail time, much of it unwarranted.
Well, I think they should do something more severe then. I really do.
What else you can do?
What do you mean?
They can't catch these guys. These guys are, I'm telling you, these Eastern Europeans.
If you just make, then find somebody that's innocent and make an example out of him, pretend he's a hacker and strip him down and just cut off his arms.
Wrap up their sleeves. They're not buying any of these stories. And they're judgment proof. They're in the eastern part of, they're Eastern Europeans. They're Ukraine, Russia, Romania. Who knows? I mean, you can't get there. You can't find them. It's just hopeless. The only solution to all this is they got to do a better job of protecting the data, which is it's the government's fault. You can't do anything about these hackers. If they get handed a lemon, they're going to make lemonade. Mixed metaphors there a little bit. It's like, you know, here I am. They're hacking away. They're always hacking away, looking for some inroad. They run into this database. They must have been probably a few days before they even started downloading it because they're too busy getting drunk, celebrating.
And attending free brothels in New Zealand.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's an excess. You should have seen there was an unbelievable surge in air traffic into New Zealand last week.
Was there?
No, I don't know.
There's hair brothels here. Just find your own local girl.
No, but those were free. Remember they were in protesting?
Yeah, well, you know, the flight is too expensive. It doesn't work.
Yep.
But economics don't work out.
Yep. Speaking about exercise and brothels, Fitbit, it IPO'd last week. This is the little bracelet thing that tracks
I did not follow this IPO.
Yeah, this is a Fitbit symbol FIT. This is where you could track your sleep. You could track your running, your walking.
My wife's a huge believer in this Fitbit thing.
Yeah. I've had mine on my Xiaomi, my fakie that I got for $15. I've been wearing it for like 2 weeks now, and it is a black band with a silver piece in it. And, if I get up tired, I'm like, oh, how much did I sleep last night? And it tells you, I don't really understand still how it understands when I fall asleep, because I sometimes fall asleep, let's say, in the chair watching TV or something.
I don't think it counts that.
How does it not count that? How does it know that I'm laying down in my bed sleeping?
Well, maybe it does count a nap.
It didn't. But it knows when I go to actual sleep. It's like it knows when I'm really sleeping. Napping doesn't count.
Okay.
I think napping
counts. It should count.
I don't understand why
it doesn't. If you nap for an hour a day, you can take one less hour sleep at night.
But I don't understand how it knows when I fall asleep versus resting. Let's say I laid down and watched TV.
My guess is that if you actually spent the few minutes it would take to write the company and ask them, you would have an answer to this question of yours.
It's possible. I'm sure somebody could tell me, because I don't understand if I would just lay in bed at night and watch TV motionless for 2 hours, would it count as sleep? You know? But here's the point. Fitbit comes out, IPO comes out at 30, now we're at about 39. Now it was up about 50% from the IPO. The IPO was actually 20. It opened up at 30, moved up the next day, it's the third day or so of it. It's at 39 now. Now there's so much competition here, I don't understand how this is going to be a major player over the long haul. Google just announced a new health tracking wristband. You got the Apple Watch, which, by the way, I did, in fact, go to the Apple store today, and I touched and played with the Apple Watch. I don't get it. Just saying. It's, you know, kind of cool. It's a nice little screen, but I don't get it. You have to be tagged and tethered to your phone, and it doesn't play music unless you move it over, and your pictures is only the favorites it has, and this, I don't get the whole thing. Anyway, and Fitbit now is worth more than GoPro market capitalization.
Huh.
What do you like about that, huh?
I think that's probably makes sense.
It does.
I think Fitbit's a winner. I think it's long term.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, there's studies that show that after 6 months, people don't wear it anymore. They get used to understanding what their heart rate is at different cycles.
I didn't know that. That's
they understand what their sleep cycles are. They get the education from it. And after 6 months, the average person doesn't wear it anymore.
Huh.
Now, there's probably not a lot of data on this because the thing's only been around for a couple of years, maybe. But people get tired of it. I'm sure.
Well, he has good marketing, guys. The packaging is good. They get them in Costco. They get them in Radio Shack. No. Somebody knows what they're doing.
Yeah, Radio Shack's out of business.
The merchandising guys, you know, if they lose him, then I'd be leery. Mm-hmm. But
yep. So, and maybe they'll be able to track more things in the future. But there's a lot of competition between the Jawbone, the Xiaomi brand. I mean, there's a lot of competition for the same thing. And if, in fact, any of these other wearables like the Apple Watch come into play, the Apple Watch can do a lot more than these things can. Or potentially can. So, let's see here. Okay. So, we've kind of poo-pooed the whole idea of global warming / climate change / whatever's going on, right?
I guess.
It seems that, well, I thought you thought it was crap.
It is.
Okay, there you go. So, we poo-pooed it. That's a Yiddish word. Yiddish. Poo-poo. Kind of hurry. You poo-poo. If something happens, if my grandmother, if something would happen, there are a few things that would happen. First of all, you know, if you said something that was really cute and stuff, they'd slap you in the face. And I don't mean cute like nasty. I mean cute like adorable. You get a smack in the face. If you said something that you didn't want to happen, like, oh my God, I hope this never happens. Oh, don't say it. Kainahara. You got to give it a kainahara poo-poo. And you got to spit a little bit when you do a poo-poo. You got to spit. Seriously. A kind of a poo-poo. it's a kind of hara poo-poo. My grandmother used to come up to me. She used to, in Yiddish, say, oh, my Shana Velt, kind of hara poo-poo.
And then slap you for good measure.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, anyway. She used to make some strange food, too. She used to make, Jewish make gribinus, which is rendered chicken fat with the onions.
That was schmaltz.
Schmaltz is another thing too, like that. Schmaltz is the chicken fat, but the gribbiness is kind of the skin and the onions all rendered in chicken fat.
Oh, the skin?
Yeah.
And
really,
onions?
Really crunchy.
Rendered. Yeah, I'll bet you that's tasty.
Yeah, it's very tasty. She used to make this stuff called shav, which was kind of like, you know, the borscht, which is red beet. Shav was like this, maybe it was kale or sage or something. It was disgusting, actually. But the one thing that she used to make that really had me horrified was something called It was garlic jello. and it had like eggs in it, like hard boiled eggs in it too. Oh, what was that called? But you know, in those days they didn't make jello with powdered jello. They would use like hooves and get all of the gelatinous stuff out of it and make, gosh, I don't remember the name of that stuff now. That's terrible. Huh. Maybe somebody can remind me of it. I'll have to call my dad and he'll remember. But we'd go over there and my father would be like, oh, do you have any, I can't remember the
name. Pisha?
What?
Pisha.
Oh, pacha, pacha.
Pacha.
Good look up on the internet and bad pronunciation. But yeah.
Well, I didn't know.
Pacha.
It's spelled P-T.
Yeah, pacha.
Oh. Is that it?
Ugh. Yeah, that's
it. Jewish dish made from jellied calf's feet.
See, I told you.
Pacha.
Yep, garlic jello made with the hooves. But she used to make tongue all the time,
like
too.
Doesn't sound like something that today's young would like.
No, definitely not. That, and we'll give you a plate of pacha and maybe some gribbiness. It'll be good for you. anyway, the weather alert, that's what I was mentioning. The hottest year on record was 2014, the highest among all years since keeping record in 1880. December combined global land and ocean average temperature was also the highest on record this December, last December. The highest prior to that was 1998. Now, I gave you this chart. Now, this is not from a blog or something like that. This is from like some official weather organization. I thought this was kind of interesting, this chart. And I put that on the show notes for in this notes for DH Unplugged for this episode. So dhunplugged.com. But take a look at this. This is an interesting chart, don't you think? Have you seen something like this?
Let me look at it.
It shows the global average temperatures from various places like the NASA, Goddard Institute for Space Studies, the NCAA.
Yeah, the problem is it's all point this, point that. Yeah, I don't know. It's up 0.4.
Well, the trend is clearly higher.
A lot of climatologists, meteorologists say, they change where they keep the thermometers, they change the paint that they painted the boxes they were in, and it could account for this 0.2. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not 3 degrees.
Right. Well, but a 1 degree rise in global temperatures.
Not even one. It's like 0.2.
All right, so I'll throw this out.
No, I would keep it. I mean, it's fine. It may have some meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But these things, it's like, you just find too many of these guys looking for stuff to prove their point to an extreme.
Mm-hmm. It's been hot down here. But anyway, here's something interesting. I don't know if you know this. Maybe you shouldn't look. Maybe I'm going to try to make you guess here. Look away. Look away. Actor Harvey Keitel, good actor, is suing E-Trade. Says that the online stock trading company hired him to do 3 commercials, but then fired him. And they hired Kevin Spacey instead. Now, do you know what this guy was getting for 3 commercials?
Probably way too much.
$1.5 million.
Million?
Yeah. Well, total.
So he was getting $500,000 a commercial.
Yeah. Commercials are short.
Yeah, good money for 3 seconds.
That's good, right? For 30 seconds. I mean, it's probably going to take him about maybe a week to do it.
Yeah, still a week. I can live with that.
Yeah.
Are they going to pay Spacey more or less?
I don't know, but Keitel won the suit.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, it was a contract.
Right, exactly. So he's done. He's out. But he got his $1.5 million, and he didn't have to work. Well, he had to pay his attorneys. Oh, no, maybe the other party paid the attorneys.
Yeah, you don't know how it was structured.
Yeah. Now, more than 4,000 people in Seattle, in a suburb of Seattle, lost power on Friday after a woman driving naked crashed her car into a utility pole.
Well, that's a story for you.
I don't know what that's about. I just thought it was very funny.
I know what it's about.
You think it's FLACA?
No, global warming.
Oh. Couldn't take it anymore.
That's why she was naked.
Right. I was thinking that if all of us drive our cars, which are part of supposedly the global warming phenomena, and with all the emissions and problems, right? But if we drove our cars with the air conditioning on and open windows, do you think we'd cool the earth down? How about that for a theory?
Yeah, I think you should write that one up.
Right? I mean, it's not a hard thing to do. Just turn your car on and keep the air conditioning going at full blast. Make sure you're cool inside and open the window a little bit.
Yeah, drive naked.
Yeah. Okay, now. The new thing, the new catchword is workation.
What?
Workation.
Oh, workation.
Yes.
So you're going to work, you're going on vacation, but it's a working vacation.
Yeah, working vacation.
It used to be working vacation, but now it's workation.
Workation.
Because people like to stick these, concatenate these words.
So you got to concatenate the words together, and because it's too difficult to remember more than one word, and it's also very catchy. So a growing number of employees are petitioning the boss to combine work and vacations. I don't know why they're doing this, but workers often pay for lodging and travel, but may take conference calls or write project updates, spending off hours with family. So I guess what they're trying to do is have more time away from the office, and they'll pay for their lodging and their travel, and they'll take conference, and I guess get paid for it. That's the point. So in other words, don't nip their vacation pay.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, well. And finally, on the list of things here, Google is taking the popular Oops feature out of experimental labs and making it a permanent feature of the web version of Gmail.
So yes, I just wrote a column for PC Magazine about this and about email in general, which will be running tomorrow.
Oh, Wednesday, I didn't know that.
PCMag.com.
So what do you think?
This is like, all I did was a rant about email being so old-fashioned. It's like they do this, and by the way, this has been in the labs for 5 years. It's an unsend. You got like a couple of minutes to
unsend. Well, it's not an unsend. What it looks like to me is it's a queue. It queues your email for 30 seconds, up to 30 seconds.
Yeah, and then you can pull it out of the queue.
Say, right. It's not like, don't make, some people.
Well, you can't really unsend.
Right. You can't send it. Possible. It goes to somebody's email box and you say, hey, give it back to me. That's not how it works. No. It just doesn't send your email.
Right.
But 30 seconds or so. Let's get to this.
I ridiculed the fact that email has not changed for 20 years. It's old fashioned. It needs to be upgraded from all kinds of different perspectives.
Yep. Well, let's get to the stocks here.
Yeah, let's
there's a game
that
we play, and there's no.
Wow, look at the green.
Green, yeah. It's like,
finally, everything is making money except the new picks.
Yeah. That's
which
temporary.
Is typical. The new picks are dead money. They're not going anywhere down.
You know what that tells me? We're so way ahead of everybody.
We're always a couple.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It takes a lot of the average guy to catch up to us. That's what I think.
Well, I'm giving you kudos for one of the picks of yours.
Which one?
Because I have been, as you haven't noticed, except for the Bluebird bio, I have been very reluctant to short anything.
Right.
I'm not short anywhere on this list. I'm just not. Well, I am here. I'm Etsy. I shorted Etsy.
Yeah. You're stopped out of that, by the way.
Oh. It was up a little bit. Oh, well. With the Shake Shack.
Yeah, too bad I couldn't do that in real life because no short sales were available and no options, but yes.
Well, there you go. So it was just this is just an exercise in futility.
Yep, unfortunately.
But you did call it.
Yep, down 20% from its high. When it kind of, we caught that right at the top there. That was good. But just to mention, this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. Do your own homework. John C. DeBark, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own these. They'll be duly noted there. You can follow this on DH Unplugged. There's a live spreadsheet that will show all this. But, you know, some of your stuff, I mean, TBT is moving finally. I mean, very nicely, which means yields are going up, by the way, up 13% on TBT.
Yeah.
Mondelez, which was just sitting there doing nothing for the longest period of time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's finally moving very nicely. Apple is actually
That's
in the money.
That's very typical with insider stuff like that I tend to pick.
Right.
The guy can't do it the day before.
Yeah. That's true. JetBlue Airlines finally in the money, 7.5% up. National Bank of Greece, I wish I held that. It's at 142 today, but I couldn't because of obviously the stops on that. Glue Mobile's up 1%, but we got the oldies of goodies up nicely. Still Walgreens Boots up 41%, TransDam Group up 35%, Seattle Genetics up 32%. Yen, even though it was,
and by the way, that's the one I wanted to double up on, but I said I didn't want to. I didn't because I think it's not to play. That's not how we're playing this game.
Actually, there was some news on Seattle Genetics. I think I'm trying to think what the news was. Let me see if I can find it. I thought I saw something about this. It was kind of interesting. I was thinking about you. Let's see. Seattle Genetics, all news. July 29th. No, that's the earnings coming out. That wasn't it. I don't see anything. Okay, here. Oh, too much. Maybe not. Earnings coming out now. Seattle Genetics receives $45 consensus price target from brokerages. Currently at what? 49. So that's much better. The 22nd company shares of Genetics rallied 3%. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. You have any picks for this particular show?
Well, I'm looking at a couple of things. Again, we have a guy who's been buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying and buying forever. And it is BRKR.
BRKR.
Yeah, Bruker or some. It's a medical supply
Bruker.
Company.
Yeah, Bruker Supply, right?
Bruker, yeah. And he has been buying this stock for years. He is a CEO. Mm-hmm. President/president, so he's got two titles, and he's been buying from these couple of years ago four, five, 30. He's more or less buys 35,000 to 37,000 shares at a pop when he buys, and And now he just bought 37,000 shares at 19, which is a that's his total. I'm looking at the wrong figure. He bought 1 million shares, not 35,000.
Wow.
He bought 1 million shares at $19. That's the big buy that he just made. Hmm. And he's been buying about 125,000 shares at a pop when he buys. But he jumped to 1 million for some reason. I mean, he's been buying, and it's not like he's been buying at $4, $4.50, 125,000 shares, 75,000 shares. And then he buys 1 million shares at $19.50.
Yeah, it's trading at $21.18 now.
Yeah, he picked up a couple points.
Yeah.
But what is this? What is this huge buy? What is it? So I figure I put it on the list.
All right, it's on the list. I don't have any particular names. I'm still of the camp that things, you know, while we may see a big pop if the Greek situation settles down, it just seems like that things are valued very, very well right now. And my concern is that, that stocks are kind of pricey. That doesn't mean they can't keep going up. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I have a couple of longs on here. I've got JetBlue Airlines. I got Rite Aid, which isn't doing anything. And I got short of the Doug, which is long of the oil companies. But I just am not getting the love of a lot of names right now. Again, the markets could continue going up and all that, but it just seems to me that we're getting kind of toppy here. But, you know, I'm just going to keep my
powder
dry.
We have this much green on our own lists.
Right.
That indicates, so even though there are shorts in here, and there's enough of them to balance it, but it still seems to me that it was controllable, and now it may be, if it gets toppy and starts bumbling around up there, anything can happen.
Actually, if you think about the list right now, the top, let's see, 5 through 20, 15 names. Okay, 15 stocks that we picked out of the 23. Oh, no, out of the 20. 15 out of 18. Pardon me. 15 out of the 18 are bright green. Now, in all fairness, we took off some of the ones that may have stopped out, but many of them stopped out at some gains too.
Yes.
15 of the 18 of these companies that we picked short and long since 6/11 of 2014 are perfect. That's pretty good.
I would say it's better than most guys doing these sorts of prognostications. I think it's better than it's great. You're like a great stock picker. I have two theories that seem to work, at least for the moment. These theories come and go. And I think it's fantastic. I look at the list and it's all like green from the top right down to the most recent picks, which are just kind of 1% down. What's one of them? Point something down because it just hasn't caught yet. Those are all turned green probably in the next month or two.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, I will talk to you then in a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll shoot you some emails. And I know you don't like me sending food pictures to you.
No, I love that.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I'll pop you a few here and there. But I'll see you soon. And how do we say?
Okay, we got 2 weeks off. We're going to take these summer weeks off, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks.
And by the way, yeah, it's good. You know the scariest time of the year for me is August.
Well, you'll be back by August.
Yeah, but it's a very scary time of year for me.
Why is this?
It is my understanding that that is the month that all the psychiatrists take a vacation.
Oh, that's funny.
That's
so anything can happen.
Yeah. People take it 2-3 weeks off. That's not good. But anyway. All right. I'll see you then.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.